You know, once in a while, it's kind of fun to sit back and reminisce a little bit about Wisconsin, the great outdoors, especially northern Wisconsin, all of the things there are to see and do and experience in the northern part of our state. Larry Mueller here, so happy to have you along today. My guest today has done quite a bit of that. Leon Buckshot Anderson is a hunting and fishing guide. He's a retired teacher. He was inducted into the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame as a legendary guide, the author of newspaper columns and books, including his latest book, which is Traveling Trails Less Traveled. Great to have him with us today, and I hope you'll join in, too, as we visit and reminisce a bit. What memories do you have of being a kid during the different seasons of the year? His book covers each season. What about spending time in nature? Was that a big part of your youth? Probably isn't. I know it isn't as much for children now as it was. And that, I think that's kind of too bad. Maybe that's not the case for you. Anyway, I hope you'll join in with your own questions and comments and certainly your reminiscences of time spent in northern Wisconsin as we visit with Buckshot Anderson. You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment right there. And Buckshot, are you with us? Let's see. No, he's not. We're having some trouble here reaching him. Let's see what we can do. Buckshot, are you there? Well, we're having a little technical difficulty right now, but we'll get to him. I'm pretty sure of that. And he's probably wondering why he's not hearing us. And I'm not sure why. So anyway, we'll try and figure that out. And in the meantime, I'm going to talk with you. Just to let you know, we're sort of keeping on the outdoor and the environment range. So later on in the program, I'm going to be talking about American Wetlands Month and the work of the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. So that'll be coming up next on the program. Let's go back and see if we can get Leon. Leon Buckshot, are you there?
I'm here. They're working on it.
All right. Good. We finally got some connection. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us.
Oh, I was listening to you, but you couldn't hear me. So we got it figured out here now.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Well, you know, that's this new technology. Back in the day, we didn't have technology like this, but you're coming through loud and clear, and I've been enjoying reading your book for sure, because you kind of go through all the seasons. This is a look back, and maybe describe kind of why you wrote this book and what's it about.
Well, actually, some of my readers that read my weekly column for the Lakeland Times suggested this to me several years ago, of taking some of my better columns. And, of course, I said, what do you mean my better ones? They're all good. And so I like to be original and not redo things. But I got thinking about what I could do with this, so I came up with this fourth season theme and went back to my 500-some columns that I've written and picked out what I thought were kind of different, unique, and my favorites. I don't know if the reader's favorites, but I put it together, and then I, as you noticed, I added a little of my original poetry that I've done over the years, and it's been well received.
Yeah, it is. It's fun to read. That's for sure. And as I was looking at the seasons, I thought, as I was reading, I thought, I bet you that I could guess Buckshot's favorite season, and then, like 2 seconds later, here I come on what you describe as your favorite season, and I was right. Yeah, and it's not summer.
No, it's fall. It's fall. I love fall.
Why do you love fall?
Well, I like to hunt as well as fish, and of course you can't hunt in the summer. Also, there's less people around, and I just fall in love with the colors and the smell of fall, the mushrooms, the leaves, and I'm a born again duck hunter, and that's the only time I can do my duck hunting, and just love to duck hunt. So That's it. Fall, and it's just a great time.
You share some great memories, I think, of probably simpler times, simpler forms of entertainment, certainly, in years past. And you have a story or two about bears, which I love. You had a great story about going to watch bears that come to the dump, for example.
Right. The one where we tried to mimic the bear, and the bear snuck up on us and put us up a tree. That was a good memory, yes.
Oh, man. And you tried to outsmart one that was at your feeder, too.
Yeah, well, he or one of his relatives is back, and he took a couple chunks out of one of ours now, but so far he hasn't gotten it over. I'm winning that battle.
Oh, gosh. I'm telling you. How was life different, you know, back when you were a kid? Talk about what the northern Wisconsin, what northern Wisconsin was like when you were a kid versus maybe a little about today.
Well, as a kid, getting to know Ma Nature was more of a necessity for survival than just doing it for recreation. I mean, we lived off the land. We ate its creatures and we ate its food, and you had to know how to do that in order to survive during those depression years, particularly that extended well up into the 50s. So today, that's not so much. Today, people catch a fish, they throw it back. Years ago, you caught a fish, it went in a bag, you know. Mm-hmm. You went out, like I said in one of the stories, when I started my first hunting with my little 410, my dad would give me one shell, and if I came back with something that was edible, I got another shell, I could continue hunting. So
in other words, you better shoot straight.
You better shoot straight or your hunting was over. Yeah, that's right.
Buckshot Anderson, our guest today. Maybe you've got an experience about your time in the north, the northern part of Wisconsin, the great outdoors there. I've certainly loved my years, essentially, of time up there, and I hope you have, too. So if you've got some memories you'd like to share, give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. You had, Buckshot, you had a lot of folks that come to your cabins, and you worked out of some kind of fun places.
Yeah, we had a family resort. My folks started with their first cabin in 1943, and we developed a small resort that we ran for 34 years. And I've also worked out at some of the more swankier ones, you know, Ed Gabe's Lost Lake Resort, Muskie Inn, Northern Air. There's a lot of resorts there that I've guided out of. I've started guiding following my dad when I was 12 and got my license when I was 16. So I've been on the water over 5,000 days over this last six decades plus, and got to know the country up there pretty good.
Yeah, and the job you had was kind of good for at least for fishing.
I taught during the winter months when I had a nice inside job, and then I spent the summer outside. That was great.
That's a pretty good way to do it. I admire that. You had a lot of opportunity to spend time outside in the summer. Martha in Madison has a comment. Let's go to her. Hi, Martha.
Oh, I grew up in Superior and had some wonderful times with my parents. My sisters and I remember Sunday mornings after church, they would drive us out to the point, and even in the dead of winter, and we'd go out and collect driftwood for the fireplace. But we call it child abuse now. It was so cold, but they were insistent that if we're going to live in Superior, my dad had been transferred there, that we had to get out and enjoy the weather. So we learned to ice skate and cross-country ski and downhill ski and go out on the lakefront and collect driftwood, even when it was well below zero.
Oh, that's a great story, and it kind of goes along with what your experience is, Buckshot.
Well, that was neat because my wife of 54 years is from Superior. I met her when I was going to college up there, and I know just about where that point was where she gathered the firewood because we used to go and stand on that point when the duck season was on and shoot at the ducks as they flew up from the lake into the pond behind it. So I'm very familiar with where she's talking about.
Yeah, we'd even go swimming in that lake.
Oh, yeah, that was a cold.
Very cold.
Very cold, even in the middle of summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Martha.
Thank you. Good memories.
Yeah, good memories. Thanks a lot for calling. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call. If you'd like to join in today as we talk with Buckshot Anderson about his book, Traveling Trails Less Traveled. He has memories of spring, winter, summer, and fall, and has written about them in his book. And Alice in Two Harbors, Minnesota, has a comment for you. Hi, Alice.
Hi. Well, thank you for taking my call, and you just hit my heart.
Oh, well,
because,
good.
We've gone through three trailers. My husband was a teacher, and we were able to spend the kids who are now in their 30s. For 25 years, we took the trailer to Trout Lake in Boulder Junction. And I grew up spending my summers in Boulder Junction. And we always went to Trout Lake. And that's probably one of the most beautiful lakes up in Vilas County, just north of Minocqua.
Yeah.
And we used to get the kids ready, and I did it as a kid. We would go to get dinner and everything at camp, and then we'd go to the Boulder Junction. The whole town went to the bear dump.
Yeah.
Yeah. But later on, as the years went by, my son, just about 5 years ago, met his wife, and he got married at Cathedral Point. And I don't know if our listeners know where that is. It's at Trout Lake, and it's a very narrow band of trees of white pines that are left from when Trout Lake was where they had the first tree planting.
Yeah.
In the state of Illinois, in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to share that
great
from
story.
My childhood to when my son got married, and we still go to Trout Lake.
Well, it's a beautiful lake, and I bet you caught a few fish there, too.
Oh, yes.
There are lots of big fish in Trout Lake.
Oh, muskies, good walleye.
Yeah, I think there might be a world record muskie hanging out.
I think there
might be one there.
The Art Long family, they've mounted a lot of big fish. Art Long's dad, he has, I think, Bosaki's, and he's got some of his big trophies hanging up when they were catching the muskies.
Well, thank you very much. Alice, thanks for calling. Leah, a Buckshot comment from you.
Well, Neil Long, he smarted over 30 of my dad's and my fish for our resort, and many, many of my guiding customers have taken the fish to Neil, and his son Alan is doing the work now, but Neil does a little of the painting yet. He hasn't lost his touch. And at a Cathedral Point, we used to go sit on the shore there in the spring when the ice went out and soak a big chub out there to catch a lake trout. And one of my real friend's daughters got married at that Cathedral Point also. So that's a beautiful, beautiful spot.
Yeah.
And Boulder Junction, if you're in Boulder, I'm at the flea market there every Tuesday in Boulder Junction selling my book. So stop by and say hi.
Oh, that's where I go every Tuesday.
Well, Alice, you're going to have to stop and say hi to Buckshot.
Well, I will.
Oh, man.
Much and enjoy your summer.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate that call. Well, it's kind of fun, isn't it, Buckshot?
Yeah, it's small world.
Oh, yeah, very small world. Lois and Granton, she's up next. Hi, Lois.
Hi there. While I live in Wisconsin now, growing up in Illinois, we used to vacation in Conover. This woman had a cottage on Clear Lake, and there was only one other house there on the lake, and it had an outhouse. And one evening after we had gone to bed in the middle of the night, my younger sister, who was about in fourth grade at the time, had to go to the outhouse. So So she went out there, and when she came back in, she was telling us how she was petting the dog. But the dog had been in the house the entire time. What she was petting was a skunk, and that's how we figured out my sister needed glasses.
Oh, my goodness. And she didn't get sprayed.
She didn't get sprayed. The skunk must have known that she wasn't a threat to it.
Well, that's a good story, Buckshot.
I can't top that one.
No, there are that one is a hard one. That would be almost impossible to top that. Lois, thank you. Appreciate it very much. Buckshot Anderson, our guest today, as we talk with him about hunting and fishing and just being in the outdoors in northern Wisconsin. His book is a series of articles, chapters on reminiscences through the seasons, spring, summer, winter, fall, about time spent in the north woods. Traveling Trails Less Traveled, that's the name of his book. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening in on the Ideas Net. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Leon Buckshot Anderson, talking with him about his book, Traveling Trails Less Traveled, really about his experiences, some of them way back, in northern Wisconsin during all the seasons of the year. David in Rice Lake has a comment. Let's go there. Hi, David. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thanks for having me. I've enjoyed being outdoors all my life. I'm born and raised in Sioux Creek Township in Barron County, and my father was a farmer, and when we'd get done with chores sometime in the summer, he'd just pack things up, and we'd run down to the old Crane Hole in the Red Cedar River and catch some rock bass, and we'd fry them up right there. So I had an early introduction to the outdoors. But my little encounter I want to tell you about is the first time I ever learned how to correctly pack some foods in my pack. It was the summer of my first year teaching school, and I need to get the chalk dust out of my veins, so I thought, I'm taking my fly rod, my brand-new, very expensive, custom Kelty pack, if that says anything to you, and my fly rod and go up on the Brule. So I rode a bus, and I got up pretty much close to the Michigan border and got out. First night, I almost was eaten alive by mosquitoes because I got there too late and didn't plan my camping area very well. Well, the second night I got a better place to sleep and caught a few trout and had a lot of fun. And those days it was a real, those granola bars that were so filled with nuts were really, really big. And I had a whole bunch of them in my pack. Well, laid down, went to sleep. And the next morning about dawn, I rolled over right at eye level with one of the outside pockets on my Kelty pack to find a quarter-sized hole in the pack, and all of a sudden there was a little black nose and a little black, very frightened eyes of a chipmunk staring at me. He had gotten into my nut bars and would eat a hole through my very expensive Kelty pack. So I learned not to do that ever again, but for I didn't know whether to yell at him or laugh.
Good story, Buckshot.
Yes. They're sneaky little buggers.
My father always used to give me a nickel every time I'd get one of the chipmunks right anywhere down around by the barn. He felt they did too much damage. But this one was so cute, I didn't know what to do. I learned how to pack my pack better.
Yeah. Well, he taught you a lesson. Thank you very much for calling, David. That's a great story. We have Anthony in Green Bay next. Anthony, hi to you.
Hi. I was just calling to talk to Mr. Anderson there. I've seen him several times out in Boulder Junction. Grew up there with my aunt and uncle during the summers and springs at the Stark Family Resort. My cousin Jim Stark's a fishing guide up there as well, so I don't know if they know each other, but you guys were talking earlier about trophy-sized fish coming out of Trout Lake, and I remember my cousin coming in with this story one day, and supposedly they had caught a world-class class muskie out of there. I remember seeing it sitting outside the bait and tackle shop for about 3 months, you know, as they were taking photographs and measurements and stuff like that. I wonder if Buckshot remembers that one.
Buckshot? Well, so many.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, there's been so many in that box out there in the front there that you kind of lose track. But, yeah, there's been some big fish taken out of that lake, and there's still big ones in there.
And did you know the person that Anthony was talking about?
No, I've heard of him, but I know of him. I've never met him.
Ah, okay.
You know, there's a lot of guides up there, and sometimes we don't cross paths.
that's true. And you're a member, I should mention, you're a member of the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. You're with the title of Legendary Guide. I'm a charter member of the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. Unfortunately, or maybe it's fortunate, that's probably a good thing. They never gave me a title of Legendary Guide. That's for sure. But what has fishing meant to you over the years?
Well, it's been part of my life, and other than, you know, putting food on the table years ago, it has led me to meet so many wonderful people over the years that have come north, and they've become friends, and I'm still, you know, I'm kind of tapering off my career now. My body's telling me it's time. I've been doing it for 62 years, and I have the creeks and the moans, but I've got a family I started fishing with in 1958, a fourth generation I'm fishing with. Families from the early 60s, 70s. So I'm weeding my people out, so to speak, by age when they can't come anymore. The only reason I don't fish with them. But it's just been a great, great, great life.
Yeah. And thanks again to Anthony, by the way, for his comments. Dave in Augusta, going to you now. Hi, Dave.
Well, good morning, Larry and Buckshot. I've got a question. Buckshot, have you ever fished Ballard Lake?
Many times.
Could you recant the story? I believe I've seen you on a video about Legendary Guides regarding the first time somebody asked you to fish Ballard Lake, and you'd never really been on it before, so you talked to another guy, a friend of yours?
Right. I knew that was coming. Yeah, that's a great story. I was requested to go to Ballard Lake. This was back in 1962, I think, when I was just still I thought I knew everything but didn't. And he said, have you fished Ballard? Of course, you never say no. I said, oh, yeah, I know. So I called a buddy of mine. He said, oh, that's an easy lake to fish. You go out the channel. He says, make a little left turn. You see a big island out there. Head right straight for that island and look over the side when you're motoring. And as soon as you see those green cabbage weeds, shut it off and start casting. So back then, you let the customer run these little three-horse Johnsons. So we went putting out there, you know, about 2 miles an hour. And I'm looking around like I'm looking for landmarks, you know, giving them that over there. And finally, see the cabbage weeds. So I look around again. I says, you know, this is good. Shut it off right here. I think we're pretty close to the spot. Well, on the fifth cast, we caught a legal muskie. And these guys just, oh, my God, does this guy know the lake, you know? So once in a while, the good Lord up there takes care of dummies, you know?
That's a great story, Buckshot.
Oh, man.
And it's true. One of my true ones.
Thanks, Buckshot. Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Dave. Dave in Augusta. Dave is, we want to talk about a good lure maker. There's a guy who knows how to make a musky lure. He made a nice one for me, and I really appreciate it. Yeah, stories like that are great, aren't they? I can recall fishing for the very first time on the Turtle Flambeau Flowage, and went up with a group of people, a bunch of buddies that we fish with, and it was cold. It was end of October, I believe, and you know, snow, you know, we're getting. And we went out, and the other guys got out ahead of me, and so I and another fellow were about 45 minutes behind the other crew, and we just putted across to there was a stump patch, and it was windy, and we were going through there really fast, and about the third cast, I hooked a big one, and actually it was we were going about the speed of a three-horse motor wide open through that stump patch with the wind blowing us the way we were. But there was a little sandbar on the other side of it, and the boat rammed into that, and I jumped out of the boat and beached the muskie. And we threw the muskie in the boat, and I saw some. There was an island just a little ways over, and I thought, I bet you those guys are over on the other side of that island, out of the wind. And so we went over there, and they had already quit fishing, and they had a fire going on the shore. And I said, "You're not going to catch any muskies sitting on the island." And they said, "Well, you're not going to catch any muskies. It's too cold. You're not going to catch any muskies either." And I said, "Oh!" And so I lifted the muskie up, and that was—I've never seen jaws drop so fast. great! Some great stories. I tell you what, you can join in too if you have a question or comment or a story to tell. 1-800-642-1234. What memories do you have of being a kid in the different seasons in the northern Wisconsin? Did you spend time there, vacation time there? Did you live there? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. And also post on my Facebook page. Just go there to the Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. What if you've always been a fan of practical jokes? I know that for sure. What are some of your favorites?
Oh man, I pulled so many of them. I had two fellas that used to come up and fish all the time for muskie with me, and they would always have a $10 bet who would catch if anybody caught a muskie, who would get the biggest one. And one day they both caught an identical size one. It was about 37 inches. And so at that time, everybody kept muskies. I'm talking again about the 60s. And
yeah.
There was a place there called Pop and Ole Dean's that used to smoke them for people, smoke the meat until they take it home. So before we went over there, each independently, while we were kind of celebrating the fact that they'd each had a muskie and having a beer, they nudged me and said, if my muskie's bigger than John's, I'll slip you a tip. And the other guy said the same thing. So I took some time, and I slid a pair of pliers down the throat of each muskie, make it a little heavier. Well, naturally, one guy won by a couple of ounces and had to pay off and kind of glared at me like, "You goof, you didn't do what I'd asked you to do." Neither one of them, of course, knew what was going on. Well, the next day we went walleye fishing, and we came in with a stringer of walleye and took them over to Pop and Ole to have them cleaned. And she's laying them on the scale. She said, "Oh, by the way, I got something here I think belongs to you that was in the stomach of these muskies." And he pulled these two pliers out and threw them on the table. And these two guys just about fell on the floor laughing.
Oh, man. Great story. Great story. Yeah. Mike in Fifield has a question for you. Mike, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Great. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I have met Buckshot a couple times at the St. Germain flea market selling his books. And about a year ago, he mentioned that he might be doing an autobiography. And I was wondering if he was going to put any of his notes that he has written in his diary, for any other lack of word, in that book. And maybe we'll see it come out.
Well, that book is already out. That came out 2 years ago, called 60 Years Between the Oars, where I pretty much told the whole story. In fact, my son was upset at me. He says, "You actually told him the names of the lakes you're fishing?" And I said, "Well, I'm retiring." He said, "Well, I'm not." But, yeah, that one's out already, and I'll have them at the flea market Memorial Day at St. Germain.
Okay, great.
Yeah, it's a great book. I interviewed Buckshot when that book came out. We had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, I've worked with his son Chris for quite a few years and heard the good, bad, and the ugly, mostly good.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right. Steven Mercer, hi to you.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, definitely. I was just thinking about the first time I caught a muskie, and back in the 60s, and I was up here. My uncle had lived up here since the early 40s, and took me out fishing. Old wooden boat, just had oars, and went out there rowing. And I don't know, been fishing for basically weeks, and all of a sudden I got a little It's probably about a 38-incher on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And pulled it up to the boat, and my uncle took off his shoe and started beating it in the head and said, "This is good dinner."
Beating it in the head with his shoe.
Yeah, yeah. You know, no net or anything, and then...
Oh, my goodness. Well, did you get it in the boat?
Yeah, yeah, we got in the boat, and it tasted delicious.
Well, yeah, you... It's probably a good thing in many ways. I mean, back in the day, you could keep every muskie that you ever caught. Now, and they are very tasty, as a matter of fact. But I haven't kept one in many, many years. We release them all, and it's the good thing about that is that, you know, now there's a lot of pretty good sized muskie out there, and the size limit for keeping a muskie now statewide, I think in about 95% of the lakes is 40 inches.
So that's right. They've upped it. There's a few lakes yet that are 34, but 40, 45, and even 50 now on most of the lakes, yeah.
Well, now Steve's talking about his uncle beating the muskie over the head with his shoe. They back in the day, they used to allow shooting the muskie.
Correct, right.
And you kept you had a little pistol. Yeah, in fact, you had a story about a pistol, if I'm not.
Well, yeah, my client who never had held a pistol in his life, I don't think, picked the thing up off the middle seat. It was just the two of us. I had a 18 pounder on, and I wasn't paying any attention to him. The fight had just started, and all of a sudden, Dick Crossett, his name was, he said, "Hey, Buckshot, how do you work this thing?" And I looked, and he's got the gun in his hand. Well, he was older than I was at the time, and respect to elders. So I said, "Dick, you pull the hammer back, and then all you do is pull the trigger." And I looked away, and the fish came up and kind of was going on the surface about 20 feet off from the boat, and I hear the gun go bang. Muskie rolled over. The bullet went in one eye and out the other. He just killed it instantly. I took the gun away from him and put it back in my tackle box. I said, "Don't you ever touch that again."
Oh, my goodness. Well, there were always stories about guys in, you know, the old wooden boats and stuff, guys getting excited with the muskie in the boat and actually shooting holes in the bottom of their boat.
Yeah, that's a story often told, probably told more often than it actually happened.
I believe. Or maybe they shot the muskie and it went through the muskie. I think it's probably told a lot more times than it ever happened, yeah. For sure. Well,
yeah,
Kath, go ahead.
My dad had one of his clients go to shoot the muskie for his buddy, and he shot the line off, and the muskie swam away. And another time, a guy, a husband and wife, she had one about 35 pounds, was a hunk. And dad was getting his gun loaded. We never kept his gun loaded in the boat. And his husband pulled his gun out and shot at the muskie and hit the pikey minnow and shot the bait out of the fish's mouth, and that one swam off. So that's two other great muskie stories.
Oh, boy. Well, Kathy in Marshfield has a muskie story, too, I think. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you a muskie story to hear that women also kind of fish.
Mm-hmm.
All these guys are telling stories. But this is not a fish story. This is the truth. I have to admit, I'm a fair-weather fisherman. It has to be the right temperature, sunny, etc. And my husband wanted to go muskie fishing. And I thought, oh, well, I'll bring my book. And we had a guide. And so we were out on Lake Catherine, up north, up by Minocqua, little lake. And he said, and first of all, he pulls out this bait, which is like two pieces of wood hooked together. And I thought, well, what muskie's going to bite on this ugly thing? And he says, "Throw it over there." Well, I don't know who was more surprised, me or him. I threw it where he said. Within a minute, I had a legal-sized muskie. I was shocked. The guide was shocked. My husband was shocked and mad. And so we pulled it in, and then, of course, he made me hold this ugly, slippery, cold fish to have a picture taken because we released it. Well, this was a half-a-day fishing thing, okay? I caught another one about 45 minutes later. Not the same one. It wasn't legal, but it was a muskie. And then, right before we pulled up a line, I had what the guide called a long-distance release of a muskie. Three muskies in a half a day of fishing. And the poor guide, he kept saying, this isn't the way it happens. This is not the way it happens. Don't think this is going to happen every time you fish. I said, well, what's with this muskie fishing? You just go out there, throw your line? Catch muskies every time you turn around.
Oh, some people are lucky like you, Kathy, and others are not. Is that right, Buckshot?
That's right. I had one of my customers who got, invited a friend of his who was a charter boat captain on Lake Michigan up years ago, and he was telling him that he'd come up here for 9 years before he caught a muskie, the customer that I just made. And so we got out of this lake, and we motored out to a weed bed, and I had him shut the motor off, and I kind of was looking at getting leaders hooked on, and I heard a little minor surface disturbance over to the left, and I looked, and I just saw the dorsal fin and a tail of a muskie go down. He come up on the sort of top. Well, the guy that had never caught a muskie before, never made a cast for a muskie before, he was already, I says, quick, I says, throw it over there where that little ripple is. He threw, and 9 out of 10, they won't hit.
Right.
That one did. First cast he ever made in his life, he caught a legal muskie. And, of course, the guy on the back of the boat that had been fishing for 9 years went ballistic. You know? So, yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, Beverly in Brule River has a comment as well, I think a remembrance. Hi, Bev.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've lived about a mile just off the south shore of Lake Superior all my life, and right now we're fishing off the mouth of the Brule River in our boat, trolling, and catching no fish, but we're fishing, so we're having a great time, and Lake Superior is nice and flat, and it's a beautiful day out here. But I just wanted to let you know that we enjoy the Northland 12 months out of the year. We're not these people that go south for the winter because we just love it up here in the Northland. I wanted to let you know one little story. When I was about 5 years old back in the 50s, the snowbanks were, the snow was so heavy and thick and high and a lot of snow, and the snowplow would come, and that would leave us a chance for all my brothers and sisters from a big family. We'd dig tunnels in the snowbanks and not only cross the snow but through the whole snowbank and everything. It was probably a little dangerous, but we had a great time. And the snowbanks were huge.
Yeah, especially there. It would have been really, really huge. But you're right about it being a little dangerous, Beverly. I don't think they'd let kids do that anymore, Buckshot.
No, they didn't. We used to do it at school, too, years ago, and the teacher made us cave them in all the time.
Yeah. Well, great story, Beverly. Thanks. And I wish we had more time for stories. Buckshot, it's always a great pleasure to have you on. I know your book is going to sell well, Traveling Trails Less Traveled. And again, where do you go on Tuesdays, is it? You're always at...
I go to Tuesday at Boulder Junction Flea Market and on Mondays to the St. Germain Flea Market.
All right.
And my books are available in many of the local stores or directly from me at buckshotanderson@yahoo.com.
buckshotanderson@yahoo.com, correct?
Right.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Leon.
Okay, thank you, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. Buckshot Anderson, hunting and fishing guide. I think he's written 11 books. And always has a lot of fun, and he's always got a lot of stories to share. And his latest book is about some of his memories from all four seasons of the year. A lot of the stories, some of his poetry as well. A lot of his stories are from articles that he wrote for papers in that northern part of the state. Great to have him along. Really appreciate it. Always fun talking with him. And it's always fun talking with Katie Balfus, too. And she's up next with us as we talk about American Wetlands Month and work of the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. That's next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.